We're going to do a message about Thanksgiving, and right off, I just want to share some statistics with you about being thankful. They have done a study now, says this, practicing gratitude could help you live longer, according to a new study. Experiencing gratitude is beneficial for physical health, emotional well-being, and past research has shown this. Now, a new study has found those who experience more gratitude also have a lower risk of dying. The report is the first to examine the effects of gratitude on longevity. The senior study author, Dr. Tyler Vanderweel, had this to say about being thankful. Gratitude is powerful, powerful for happiness, powerful for addressing at least minor depressive symptoms, powerful for improving health, powerful for protecting against premature death. And it's something anyone can do. Being thankful really is great for us. Being thankful is important. And when you're thankful, it spreads to those around you. So let's be thankful. We're going to talk today about this very thing, being thankful. And our title is Thankful People Have Abundance. Now, when you look at that title at first, you might be, well, does that mean they're thankful because they have abundance, or being thankful brings abundance? And then, of course, you might be also wondering, well, what does abundance even mean? I can't tell you this scripturally. When you talk about abundance, it's not really just talking about an abundance of stuff or an abundance of money. Abundance goes way beyond provision, okay? So we're going to talk about that today because I believe God wants his people to be thankful and have the abundance that comes with it. Colossians 2 verse 7 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. In other words, overflowing with thankfulness. You see, if you're a believer, then you should be thankful. We should be some of the most thankful people anywhere. We have so much to be thankful for. Abound in it, overflow in it. Now, when I say thankful people have abundance, I'm going to give you just three different things Scripture says we should have an abundance of. The first thing thankful people have an abundance of is peace. And peace is something that is good to have in our crazy world. Thankful people have an abundance of peace. Listen to Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Three times in this short portion of Scripture, he's giving them living instructions as believers, and he puts in there three times you need to be thankful. You see, being thankful brings peace. Being thankful causes us to focus on what is good and what's working, not on what isn't. Being thankful actually forces us to look at the good things in our lives. And I hope you're doing that this weekend. Philippians 4 verse 6 is another verse that speaks about thankfulness. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, when you bring things to God and then you just thank him, you are ultimately saying, God, I trust you. I've brought these things to you. Now my heart of thankfulness says, I know you've got them under control. I know you'll answer. I know you'll work it out. And immediately you're filled with peace. You see, just bringing requests but believing they won't get answered, or bringing requests and doubting he'll do anything, that's not a thankful heart. That's you rubbing the bottle, hoping the genie shows up. But God's not a genie. He's a real, living, true God who hears the things you bring to him. And your thankfulness is your faith that says, I believe you've got it. So when you pray and you bring those needs and those requests, finish with, Lord, I thank you, you're looking after it. I thank you, I don't need to worry anymore because I brought it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in every circumstance. This is easy to read, not so easy to do. Being thankful in great circumstances when everything's working, but what about when it's not working? What about when the finance didn't come through in time to pay that bill? Can we still be thankful? What about when the report from the doctor wasn't what we wanted to hear? Can we still be thankful? You see, being thankful in every situation means that you're giving it to God. You're putting your trust fully in him. And your thankfulness allows you to be at peace and happy no matter what. You see, being thankful is a heart attitude that has nothing to do with your circumstance. I've met many people over the years who are, well, I would be happy if I could just, you name it, if I could just have that job. I'd be happy if I could just have that relationship. I'd be happy if I could just move to Edmonton. I'd be happy if I could. Did you know something? If you're not happy and thankful in Slave Lake, you can move somewhere else and you'll be unhappy and unthankful there. Why? Because it's a heart attitude. It comes from within being thankful. And if you can be thankful in any situation, you can be happy anywhere. You can be happy and thankful in Hawaii, and you can be happy and thankful in Tuktoyaktuk. Has anybody been to Tuktoyaktuk? It's really, really far north. To get there, you have to drive in the winter on an ice road or fly by a plane in the summer. We went there once, in the winter of all times. It's cold. And when you get there, there's houses and snow. There was a grocery store and a school. And all the houses are on poles because they're in the permafrost. It's freezing all the time. And you're thinking, wow, what a horrible place. Everybody up there must be depressed. No, actually, they were quite happy. Why? Because they had thankful hearts. They were thankful to be alive. They were thankful for their families. And I'll be honest, I was thankful when we came home. Okay, anyhow, we can be thankful in all circumstances. And God wants us to do just that. So thankful people also have an abundance of provision. So thankful people have an abundance of peace. The second thing, they have an abundance of provision. Now, provision is different than just a bunch of stuff. Provision is your needs, but God actually says, I'll supply your needs and more than enough. So an abundance of provision. If you've ever met somebody who thinks that stuff will make you happy, you've likely met someone who's chasing something they can't find. They have a lot of stuff and they're still not happy. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Do you guys know anybody who has a lot of stuff has made them happy? Anybody know someone like that? There's a couple you're like, well, I think I would be if I had, you know, a quad and, you know, one of those side-by-sides and maybe a boat. I've met a few people from Slave Lake who bought a boat and use it twice a year. Stuff doesn't make you happy. It can't. Have you ever met or visited the household of a hoarder? Has anybody ever visited someone who's a hoarder? Now, there are different reasons for hoarding, but ultimately, a hoarder feels they need this stuff to make themselves happy. They feel that one more thing, if I keep this, if I hold this, if I get this, and it actually brings them some temporary comfort when they get the stuff. There's like a high when they, you know, they go to the pawn shop and they get that new guitar. I'm going to pick on the guitar players. You know, that I just need one more. That's what's going to do it. Let me pick on the men a little bit. I know, I just need one more tool. That's the one. Yet that, it's on sale. I knew I needed that. God has ordained this moment. I came into the store and it was on sale, 30% off. Woohoo! And it feels great to get stuff, but only for a little while. You see, stuff can't make you happy, and provision is what you need and more than enough, but don't chase stuff. You see, be thankful for what you have and watch what God will do. There's an interesting story in John chapter 6, and it is the story of Jesus, and Jesus is teaching the people. He is out on the hillside there in the wilderness area, and nobody has eaten for a long time, and they're getting hungry. And the disciples say, Jesus, you should send the people away so they can go get food. And Jesus replies to his disciples, why don't you feed them? And they're quite shocked by this. They're like, how can we have enough food for all these people? There's like 5,000 men and then women and children, like too many. And Jesus says to them, well, what do you have? And I want you to catch this because this is a key to being thankful. This is a key to seeing God's provision and blessing. What do you have? And the disciples answer him this in John chapter 6, verse 9. There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now, they went from not even close to enough to an abundant overflow. And how did it happen? This is an important lesson that Jesus wanted his followers to get and never forget. He asked them, what do you have? One of the disciples says, well, we got this. You know, we got these barley loaves and fish from this young boy. And their first comment is, but what good is that? That's an unthankful attitude. We got this stupid little bit of food. What good is that? How many of us have been in those positions? But what about if you were thankful for what you had? You see, Jesus understands this and he says, go get the people to sit down. Go get them ready to eat. I wonder what was going through the disciples' minds. Are you for real? Okay, 50 people here, 50 people. Sit down. We're going to have lunch soon, I hope. You know, sit down. And then it says, Jesus took the bread and thanked the Father for it. He didn't command a blessing miracle. He didn't, you know, rebuke lack. He simply thanked the Lord for what they had. And he begins to break it, and it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. You see, when you are thankful and obedient, blessing comes. I call this God's math. God's math is different than ours, and there's God's math. Not enough plus thankfulness plus obedience equals more than enough. Scripturally, you'll see this more than once. So think about it for a minute. What do you have that you've been thinking, oh, whatever, this is nothing, but God has blessed you with it? What if you changed your attitude and said, I'm thankful? Maybe your relationship, you're unthankful for your spouse and you're thinking only of what they do wrong. What if you got thankful and obedient? Maybe super nothing would turn into Superman. You ever think of that? Ask a husband what happens when you're thankful. Oh, you're thankful. You're like, oh, you're so awesome. They go from like, to, what do you need me to do? You know? It just works miracles. Husbands, what about for spouses? You know, if you want to eat well, I'm going to say this for the young men. Maybe they're not married yet. If you want to eat well, you thank your spouse for the burnt toast. She will cook again and she'll get better. You give the, oh, this is terrible. You're going to be eating out for the rest of your life. Being thankful changes people. So let's be thankful. But God's math is amazing. And I believe that always, if we can take what he's given us and thank him and then be obedient, we'll see great blessing. There's another story. And I want to go to that one in the Old Testament that kind of mirrors this. And this is a story back in 2 Kings, and it's a story about a widow. Now, she's recently been widowed. Her husband has passed away, and she has two sons. And she goes to Elisha the prophet, and she says, "My husband passed away, and he used to serve you, and there is a creditor coming who's going to take our two sons as slaves." Now, I can't imagine what she must have been feeling. She's lost her husband. Now someone's going to take her sons as slaves, and they have nothing. And in those days, for her to survive, her sons would have to been bringing in somehow, or she was just going to be a beggar. And she comes to Elijah. She is overwhelmed, and she's distraught. And in verse 2, I'm reading from the Message, it says, "Elisha said, 'I wonder how I can be of help. Tell me, what do you have in the house?'" Now, if you read us another version, Elijah actually asks her, "What do you want me to do?" There really isn't a reply, so Elisha asks another question, "What do you have in the house?" Listen to her answer. "Nothing," she said. "Well, I do have a little oil." Did you catch this? This is someone who's desperate. She's to the point where she sees nothing good and nothing to be thankful for. And her answer to what she has in the house is nothing. And then she thinks about it. "Well, I do have a little oil." But you can just sense her feeling and what she must be going through. She's probably like, "Well, I have a little stupid oil, but what good is that? You know, what's oil going to do? Can't eat that. Can't pay my bills." God wants you to get thankful for what he's given you, and he can open up doors and blessing that you've never, ever imagined. But if you can't be thankful, it won't happen. Elisha continues, "Here's what you do. Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all your neighbors, and not just a few, all you can get. Then come home and lock the door behind you, you and your sons. Pour oil into each container, and when each is full, set it aside." So he tells the widow woman, "Go ahead, grab every container you can from your neighbors, every one you can find." And he says, "Get a bunch." Apparently she listened, and she got every container she could. She got her sons. They brought all the containers, went inside, shut the door, and they started pulling oil out of the little jug. That little bit of useless nothing oil. But she had a different attitude now because she had some direction from God through the prophet. And she was like, "Okay, we're doing this." She had nothing to lose. Let's pour it out. She pours it and it keeps pouring and pouring and the jug is full. She pours it again and it pours and pours and the jug is full. Continues doing this till every jug in the house is full. And then she goes to the prophet and she says, "The jugs of oil are full. What now?" He says, "Take those jugs of oil and sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live off the rest." That's a lot of oil. You see, oil in Bible times brought a lot of money, just like it does in Alberta today. Anyhow, pour it out. Pour the oil. And you see, she went from nothing to a stupid little bit of oil to her debts are paid, and she has what she needs to live off for the rest of her life. That's what God can do when you get thankful and obedient. You see, everything and anything that God has given us can be a catalyst for abundance when we're thankful and obedient. I remember a time in my life where I got to experience this. This was a number of years ago now, and my wife and kids, we lived in an older trailer in town. And I did carpentry work quite a bit back then. Anyways, we lived in this older trailer, and I was out mowing the grass one day out front, and I was mowing, and I was talking to the Lord as I mowed the grass, and I did that sometimes. Probably everybody else could hear me, but, you know, I thought the lawnmower drowned me out. But anyways, God and I were having a talk. I was like, "Lord, I'm faithful. I tithe all the time. I give how you ask." I said, "But it's like there's just enough. Where's the abundance? Why don't I see abundance, like overflow, like you said?" I was praying that. And literally, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me the way he does, the still small voice right to my thoughts. And I had this thought as I was mowing, buy the property next door. And there was an old trailer next door. And the first thing, you know, there was no for sale sign. The first thing that came out of my mouth Why would I want another old trailer? I spend all my time fixing up the old trailer I live in. That's exactly what came out of my mouth. And then was, obviously that wasn't God. Unthankfulness. I didn't realize I had an unthankful attitude. And I didn't even tell my wife about it. I just like, totally unthankful. Went to work. The next day when I got home from work, my wife tells me, oh, the real estate guy was here assessing our trailer for the finance company. I'm like, what? Yeah, he said he had to come and assess our trailer for the finance company. All of a sudden, and you know, she said the name of the finance company. I said, that's not our finance company. I'm like, oh, he's supposed to be next door. And I had this realization from the Lord that this feeling of suddenly my unthankfulness, the thought of what if he was coming for my trailer and we would not have a place to live, no place to sleep or eat. Oh my goodness, I became thankful right away. I suddenly thought our place was awesome, and I realized God was speaking to me, and I better get obedient. And so I called the real estate person up, and I said, I just wanted you to know you were in the wrong trailer. You're supposed to be in the trailer next door. And he said, well, he said, I know it's really hard when this happens. I understand how you feel. I said, no, you're supposed to be in the trailer next door. And I said, when you get your sign up, let me know, because I'm going to buy it. Well, shorten the story up. After a process of time, we did end up, he was in the wrong trailer in case you're wondering, we did end up buying the property next door. We rented it out for 6 months, and then we resold it, and God blessed us abundantly. What if I had just kept my unthankful attitude? What if God hadn't been merciful and redirected a real estate guy to the wrong place? I would have missed out on it all. You see, sometimes we're praying and asking God to do something for us, to make a way, but we're unthankful for what we already have. And it blocks what he wants to do. Get thankful for what you have now and watch what he can do next. Because you see, if your heart and mind is focused on what you don't have and what isn't working and what you don't like and what you have to fix, you're going to miss out on a whole host of amazing things that he has for you. So get thankful. Get thankful and then get obedient. And I trust you, God will bless you abundantly. God gives thankful people an abundance of peace, an abundance of provision, also an abundance of joy. Psalm 95, verse 1. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Being thankful causes us to come into the Lord's presence, which automatically brings joy. Did you know this? When you're thankful, when you come to church thankful, you enter into his presence. When you enter into the presence of God, obviously there's healing, there's his love, his comfort, but there's also joy. You see, we need joy in our time frame. We need to be able to laugh. Let me ask you, when's the last time you had a good belly laugh? You actually laughed. Maybe you laughed till it hurt. Can you think of when the last time is? I'm going to encourage you. You need to laugh again. You need to find a reason to laugh. And if you can't, your joy tank is low. And I saw a couple people thinking about what they laughed about, and they're laughing now. That's good. That's good. You need to be able to laugh. You need to have that joy coming into his presence. I believe that if you're unthankful, it's very difficult to come into his presence. Did you know that? I know that from experience. If you come to church with an unthankful heart, you are probably going to stand there in the worship part, and because you're unthankful, you're going to be like, oh, boy, the worship team is sure off today. My goodness. I don't know that drummer, all that piano player, what is going on? And you're going to not even enter his presence one bit. Why? Because you're unthankful. And the preacher's going to get up and you'll be like, oh, I've heard this guy before. He goes so long. And you're just going to be like, oh, get me out of here. I'm hungry. Oh, I know it's Thanksgiving. You might be hungry. I would like to tell you, I was preparing the main slide about being thankful, And I had found this picture of an entire Thanksgiving dinner, and it was so amazing. I thought, what am I doing? They won't hear a single thing I say if I put that up there. So I just want you to know, I didn't do that. But hey, what if you came in thankful? You came in thankful, and you come here, and you're like, Lord, I'm so thankful that I have the health and the strength to go to church. I'm thankful that this is my home church. I get to go, and we worship together. I'm thankful that there's people that give their time to play and worship. And Lord, I am just going to get lost in you. And what happens? You're in his presence. You go home, you're like, man, that worship team was amazing. They're just the same as the week before, but you were thankful. You see, a thankful heart allows you to easily enter his presence. And trust me, you want to enter his presence. Because in his presence, according to Psalm 16:11, there's fullness of joy. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. In his presence, there's joy. In his presence, there's pleasure. You see, God wants to bless you, and he wants to give you the desires of your heart, and you need to be thankful. You see, when I think about what am I thankful for, there are so many things. I am thankful for my wife. My wife is a children's pastor. She's over there teaching today because one of the teachers, their family, they're not doing well, so they couldn't be there. And I'm thankful for her heart and everything she does. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm super thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for our congregation. You know, you think about it, well, I'm thankful for this building, but a building without passionate people is nothing. I'm thankful and happy when I come in here and I see people come through the doors, they're smiling and they're talking with another, and then the worship comes and I see them just worshiping him. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for each of you. And I'm thankful that what God wants to do in us, he does. You see, you and I can list the things we're thankful for again and again. Oh yes, and I'm thankful for where I live. And by the way, I don't live in the old trailer anymore. I'm thankful. I learned a lesson, and I want to be thankful for whatever he's given. I'm thankful for the vehicle I drive. Maybe you drive an old, beat-up vehicle, and you've been like, oh, I don't like... Get thankful. Be thankful for what you have, and watch what God does next. Because being thankful matters. So being thankful, my final point, and I'm going to slowly wrap up with this. I should be done in about 10 minutes. So thankful people have an abundance of forgiveness. You see, the ability to be able to always be thankful in every situation requires us to be forgiving people. Because we live in a world where people make mistakes and there are opportunities to get hurt and offended. And if we can't forgive, we remain unthankful. We remain often bitter. And bitter people are not fun to be around. Bitterness is said to be like a poison. And the thing about it is this. Because we refuse to forgive, somebody has hurt us, and we become poisoned with bitterness because we chose to not forgive. Now, we're poisoned, and they're completely fine. They don't even know that we got offended sometimes. They don't know that we're mad, and here we are, poisoned. Now, our unforgiveness and bitterness can spread to those in our family. We suddenly start saying things and biting remarks that poisons those around us. You see, forgiveness is so important, and I believe it helps us to become thankful when we forgive. Matthew 18:21, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. In other words, he just made a number that was impossible to reach in a day. Forgive and forgive again. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, you can't live an abundant life if you're filled with unforgiveness. When you forgive others, God also forgives you. You become thankful for what God has done for you, and it makes it easy to forgive others. I think about it today, how amazing God's forgiveness is to me. You know, he is there with his love, the price he paid on the cross, and I can be forgiven. I'm forgiven. I can walk in life and light with him, completely free from that burden and that weight of past mistakes and past sin. You see, God is good and his forgiveness is good, and we need to give it to others. You see, with thankful hearts, you and I, if you're a believer, received the greatest forgiveness of all. You see, Jesus came and he gave a free gift of salvation. Romans 6:23 said, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." You don't pay for a gift. A gift is free. And I want you to think about it for a minute. When someone brings you a gift and you take the gift, what is the first thing you say? Thank you. You don't even know what it is yet, but you say, thank you. It is a way that begins the opening of, I'll receive that gift. Thank you. You see, you and I with thankful hearts can receive this gift of salvation, and many of you here have done that very thing. You see, Jesus came and made it possible for you and I to have a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. You see, because of sin that entered the world with Adam and Eve, all of us were cut off from that relationship with our Heavenly Father. But Jesus would make a way for us to once again be united with him, to be forgiven completely. And he hung on a cross in our place. His body was beaten and bruised. His blood was shed. And he did it in our place. You see, we should be more thankful than any people alive when we realize what he's done for us. It could have been me hanging there, but I don't have to, because he did it in my place. And he said, I'm doing this for you. And this gift we can receive, and it is simple to receive. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. In other words, that free gift, you simply have to believe it and then use words. Isn't that interesting? We just said how you receive a gift. Thank you. The same with the gift of Christ. You receive it with words. Lord, I believe you. Thank you. I need this for me. Thank you. It's simple. And it's so simple that we take the opportunity every service to just say a simple prayer that allows people to use words for what they believe in their heart. And maybe you're here today and you've not yet asked him to come and to forgive you and make you new. And so we're going to give you that opportunity right now. As a group, we're just going to pray this simple prayer together for that one or two who may have never prayed it. So if you'll bow your heads, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that here this morning.